1 o'clock, Sunday afternoon. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, and we are talking about pretty much phenomenal athletes. And while most times we get to know an athlete because of their success in one sport, we are discussing who could be, who you would like to see play not just their sport that they succeeded in, but in something else. And what spurred this conversation is the fact that we're going to be able to see Peyton Manning and Tom Brady play in a high-level golf match, which is for charity, later today, so long as Mother Nature cooperates down there in Florida. And so that kind of got the conversation going. But our last caller, Craig, was talking about Dave Winfield and saying how he had been drafted by the three major sports, the only one not being hockey. And Craig is correct. He was drafted fourth overall by the Padres. And then he was also selected by Minnesota. In the NBA, no, the Vikings took him in the NFL, even though he didn't even play football. And he was selected by the Atlanta Hawks of the NBA. And he was also selected, drafted by the Utah Stars of the ABA. So he's one of six players ever to be drafted by three professional sports and one of three athletes to be selected by four, because you throw in the ABA, four organizations, I'll call it, or four different leagues. Pretty impressive.
I love the older drafts. You know, and MLB still does it, obviously, but the NFL, when it had like 21 rounds or whatever it was.
Yeah, he was drafted in the 17th.
You know, like, you're basically just picking athletes at that point. So, like, the one that comes to mind in the MLB was 2 years ago. I forget what team it was, but a team selected Felipe Franks in like the 65th round. Felipe Franks was the quarterback at Florida. I forget where he's at now. He transferred, but he was the quarterback at Florida. He hadn't played baseball since his sophomore year of high school. You just draft athletes to see what happens.
Right, but let me ask you a question. What is the point of having those 20 rounds?
In the NFL, I have no idea. In Major League Baseball, at least it makes sense. You're trying to stock four, five, six farm system teams.
I see. So you need the bodies.
Yeah. I have no idea why the NFL had so many rounds.
Yeah. Well, even basketball back in the day, I mean, I know people who were drafted in the sixth round. I got to go and check. Herb McGee was selected by the Celtics. I don't know what round that was, but he was definitely taken in that NBA draft. And I remember now why I said I thought I had done things, something with Dave Winfield, and it was because I covered him when he was with the Angels late in his career, and I was coming out of college, and that's where I remember covering him. He also hosted a really cool historical baseball series. It was called the Baseball Music Project. He had a really good, well, he was on Baseball Tonight also, but I was going to say he narrated the series and he had such a great voice. It was really, and it was well done. 610-632-0975. Let's check in with Alan in Villanova. Alan, how are you this weekend? Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing this week?
What's going on?
Well, listen, first of all, I'm going to create some trouble. You have to have a little conversation with the man on before you, Mr. Stazak.
Okay.
Because before he signed off, he says, well, we got D. Lynam coming up at noon and the great Pat Egan coming up at 4. And I have a lot of problems with that description there.
Oh, so it's absolutely fine. I know you are. He was saving his adjectives. He might need some later on today somewhere else.
All right, I had to start off with that.
Right, there you go.
So, I'm embarrassed, though. I didn't do my homework. You told me to watch the Cheers finale, and I didn't get to it.
That's all right. Now, when you do, you'll let me know.
Okay. And so, talk about the great athletes. It's a coincidence, because the guy before me, he talked about a New York Yankee, Dave Winfield.
Yes.
Who, I don't know if you remember, but he took him a long time to get over his feud with the Yankees, because Stuart Steinbrenner decided to dub his nickname as Mr. Meg.
Oh, man.
Because of his post.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. I had not remembered that. That'd be pretty hard coming from your owner and making it out loud.
Yeah. So, but that led me to talk about the other Yankee before him, Mr. October,
Reggie
who was
Jackson.
Actually a great football player. Mr. October, of course, number 44, Reggie Jackson.
Yes. I did not know he was a football player. Did he play at what level?
College. He was drafted at college. And he played college football, I believe. I just looked it up on Wikipedia. So I think he did play college football and then switched over to baseball.
Huh.
And there's one for you. And one more, our own AI was a pretty good football player from what I read.
Yes, he was a very good football player. And actually, Tyler and I debated what position he would have played because in high school, he played defensive back, he played wide receiver, he returned, I mean, he did it all. And for him to be, and he could have played in college for sure. And part of my, and when you listen to different, Charlie Ward is another one. I think sometimes the decision of what a person ended up playing was financial. Because there was a guy who was an excellent football player at Notre Dame that somebody offered, and then he ended up having 13 years in Major League Baseball, and he made over $100 million. And I have to remember his name, but Smega, right, Tyler? Samardzija, Jeff Samardzija. And so he made over $100 million, but in baseball. Over a 13-year career, and when he probably was a really, really good football player, but you're not going to make that kind of money.
No, but you got to do what pays, I guess. And also, he picked a safer sport. So
that's true too. That's an excellent point.
I have a suggestion for you. If you're getting millions of suggestions for TVs, you up for a movie suggestion?
I would absolutely. I'm up for anything.
This is obscure. I have to preface it. Your show's talked about sports. We miss sports. I don't know if I've told this before, but I've discussed it with Anthony a lot. What I miss as much or more than sports is live theater in New York City.
That's a yes. Yep.
And
live theater anywhere, but I understand what you're saying, going to Broadway.
Yeah, because actually the last thing I saw on Broadway before the shutdown was the revival of West Side Story, and the first thing I was unable to see. And as a thing that I do with my son a lot, on the Saturday of the Big East final, we tip a Broadway show at 2 and then head down to the Garden for the final. And we had it all set this year for a Soldiers play with former Eagle, Nassim Asamoah.
What was the play?
Called The Soldiers Play. It's actually a very good movie.
Oh.
With early Denzel Washington. It was an off-Broadway play that won a Pulitzer Prize, and it was never revived on Broadway until this year, and it did get it got a fairly good review, but of course it got shut down with everything else. But anyway, that brings me to my obscure movie.
Yes.
Because of my love of theater, we lost one of the greatest actors ever in the last month or so, and that would be Brian Dennehy.
I saw that.
And you could rent one of his last performances. He's got two coming out in 2020, but it's a small movie just came out, and it's on every streaming channel called Driveways. And even if you've never got to see him on stage, it's a minor movie. It's about an Asian woman and her son. They're from Michigan. They have to go to Poughkeepsie to clean out her sister's house, who turned out to be a hoarder. But Brian Dennehy plays the neighbor who they develop a friendship with. And it's almost like seeing him on stage, especially at the end when he gives a speech to the kids. So I highly recommend for anybody who's never got to see Dennehy on stage to at least check out this movie, Driveways. You really will not be disappointed.
I'm going to check it out. In the moment that you did it, I just put in Driveways and it came up with Dennehy's name right away.
Yeah, it's only an hour and 23 minutes. It's no action or anything, but you really would get the sense of what a great actor he was, even from this small movie.
Oh, cool.
So that's all I got.
All right. I appreciate it, Alan. I always enjoy talking to you. Thank you.
I always enjoy talking to you. You are a great Sunday afternoon lifesaver, like I say every time.
I appreciate that, Alan. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and your Memorial Day weekend. Thanks for calling The Fanatic. What is interesting about Brian Dennehy, and it is true, Driveways, I think it was one of his last performances, but apparently coming up, there's actually a Zoom on what day is today's the 24th, a Zoom on May 27th and 28th, where there will be a discussion with On. And On, I believe, Andrew On was the director. And let's see, the film premiered at last year's Berlin International Film Festival and then played at the Tribeca Film Festival, where it earned strong reviews, particularly for Dennehy. The Hollywood Reporter called his performance a breathtaking piece of film acting. And he died at the age of 81 in April of this year. So I might check that out, the Zoom with the director. That'd be kind of cool. I like those kind. I've never really done any of those Zoom series with people that you don't know, right? That'd be, first I'll watch the movie and then I might go into that discussion with the director. Let's check in with Steele in Ocean City. Steele, first and foremost, what's the Jersey Shore like this Memorial Day weekend?
Mr. Nee, hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It's 62, overcast, but certainly not enough to keep me from playing.
When did you play this morning?
I did. I had a 7:30 early tee time around the corner. And
Galloway?
No, Seaview.
Seaview, got it.
Yes, yes,
nice.
Seaview. And
the Ocean Course or Pine?
I played the Bayside.
Nice.
Yes. It's a Donald Ross. It's a lot of fun.
Yes.
Especially when the wind is up. It's very nice.
Steele, now I got to ask you, won't you be interested? Now, I don't know if the weather will let them get this in this afternoon, but wouldn't you be interested in watching that match down there in Florida, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me?
I think this is going to be. And I love that it's a little more interesting format-wise than last week's.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen them instead of, I understand the charity and auctioning off the golf carts, but I would have liked to have actually see, them
carry their bags
on the shoulder.
I know.
I mean, that would have been really cool because you're
especially Tiger, who has a bad back.
I don't know if they're actually carrying full bags. I guess they are, but not certainly rain suits and a full professional golf bag's pretty heavy. But
no, you can do your walking bag. I just bought a lightweight bag this week, and it's a world of difference.
Yeah, but Denise, just to see them leave the first tee box, Tiger Woods, arguably behind Nicklaus or arm in arm with Nicklaus, hoisting up a bag on his shoulder.
Yes.
That's kind of like, must see TV type of thing.
Well, I assumed when I read that there were no caddies for this, and having seen the guys last week carry their bag, I assumed they were carrying their bag until it was actually this morning when I saw the juiced up carts that they're going to auction off.
Well, I love it because they all have personalities.
They do. And I didn't know this. I'm going to share this with you because you will find it interesting. Other people maybe not. But Tiger was the one who came up with the original match with Phil, right?
Yeah.
And took it for a production and blah, blah, blah.
I think he lost.
He did, in extra holes. And that was at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas about a year and a half ago. It was November.
Steve Wynn property.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, but what they found, because it was a neck and neck match, and they were both mic'd up, as they got down to those, I don't know if it was the final four holes, but they neither was saying anything to anybody because they were so into their match.
Yeah.
So they decided for if they ever did a part two, they would have to think of something else that would create conversation. And that is how bringing these two in, because of their own competitive NFL background, right? Plus the competitiveness of them as individuals.
Right.
And now they put Justin Thomas on the course as a reporter.
With Barkley.
Barkley's not on the course, though. He's in the booth.
Okay. Well, that was, I just think because they all have personalities like the other four blokes, I don't think Matthew Wolf or
Dustin. Dustin gave you nothing.
He's dry as toast.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson was certainly, it left a lot for Ricky and Rory McIlroy to really try to carry, and that was not enough.
Yeah, but these guys, and especially Manning.
Yes.
Manning is, that's why he's been, you know, so coveted for the Monday night job. He's just...
Yeah, I mean, even think about his work in commercials has been good.
Yeah, he's very comical. I mean, he hosted Saturday Night Live. He's right there. And Mickelson, I mean, he's a swashbuckler. And of course, Woods is, you know, for all his celebrity, he's engaging.
Sure.
And, you know, Brady is charismatic. It's a must watch.
Yeah.
I would like, on the golf course, just a little caveat, and I haven't really been listening, but I understand there was a Who Would You Like to Broadcast. I would love to have Romo there.
Romo would be a great one. So somebody, I had said who else could play in this kind of thing, because one of the things is that Peyton and Brady actually have a head-to-head competition when they were playing against each other in the NFL that is worthy to note. So, like, for instance, I'd love to see Steph Curry because by handicap alone.
Scratch.
And Romo would be another one, but who do you pair them up with that you could still get something combative? And maybe that's the wrong adjective, that would have, you know, equal to what you have with Manning and Brady. You know what I mean?
I thought Wolf was a reach for the prior four ball. Justin Thomas, Fowler, that would be a nice foursome for those guys. But
you're right. Romo on the broadcast would be great.
Yeah, on golf, because he's a scratch guy. I mean, I think he played a couple events, if I'm not mistaken, and he's
in that one in Lake Tahoe. He's always at the top of that. I don't know if you call it a pro am or celebrity pro am, whatever. But he's always at the top.
Yeah, he's very engaging.
Yes,
extremely engaging. Yeah. Let's see, I'm running out of time. Michael Jordan, Donald Trump.
Next week.
Yeah, I'll get to that. Listen, one last thing. I talked to Tyler. Did we talk to LeBron playing football?
We did. I said tight end, and I had a caller who wanted him to play football. I said, what position?
All right, I'll leave you with this, and have a lovely Memorial Day weekend, your family. But I'll leave you with something a little comical.
Okay.
How about the Big Dipper in men's figure skating? Love you.
Certainly comical, Steele. I appreciate it. Thank you for that. Would be great. Now we laugh, but let's just face it. He was an excellent track star. Now I know he's.
Will would have figured it out.
He would have
somehow.
I'm just saying. I think he would have figured that out. Yes, he had great footwork. I'm trying to think. I know, Tyler, I've told you this. I did cover figure skating. I'm trying to think of who was the tallest of... There was a guy from Russia, Yevgeny Plushenko, who was taller than many. A lot of them are pretty... They're smaller. But Yevgeny was... He was very tall and lean. Now, he wasn't Big Dipper tall, but... That's a good one. He wants to see him on skates. So Governor Cuomo is allowing pro teams back to facilities. I think first of all, New York's numbers might be, I think it was yesterday or Friday where they reported under 100 cases. I'll have to see. I know that when I see his graphs go up, I always have it on in the background. That they have kept a really good, they've informed you, number one, and the things they're doing have certainly had their graph go in the direction that they asked for and said was necessary from the beginning.
By the way, the 100 was 100
deaths.
New deaths. Yeah, in the day.
I wish it was cases.
First time. I mean, it's a step in the right direction.
First time in March. Yes. Since March, yeah. 100 cases death. Wow, so if their teams will be back to facilities, man, you got to think that. And since New Jersey I got to ask this, Tyler. If you're allowed to have 25 gathering, that says to me you're very close to being able to have a basketball practice. You have 15 on the roster, 10 support staff.
Yeah, so it's 25 outside.
Oh, it's outside.
It's still 10 outside. Inside, yeah.
I got you. I missed that part. Oh, so you, well, go to an outdoor court.
It's got to be one somewhere.
Right? Or, you know, get building that parking lot that they have inside the gate. You could have a outdoor. No, I don't know. You're not supposed to be playing pickup basketball. That's why they still have all the rims down in all the parks near my house. All right, so that's one new item. I had mentioned how Herb McGee was drafted by the Celtics. It was the 62nd round in the 1963 draft. 67 round?
62nd pick.
62nd
pick, yeah.
I was going to say, what are you talking about? That's not bad. That's impressive. 62nd pick by the Celtics in 63.
I'm going to go back and see how many teams were in the league in 63.
Yeah, it would have been less.
I'd imagine that's either third or fourth round, right?
I'm off the top of my head, I'd say fourth, but maybe it could be a little more. I don't think so. That's pretty good, Coach McGee. 62nd pick in the 1963 draft. And we were just mentioning that because when we were picking athletes, the fact that Dave Winfield was the 17th round for the Minnesota Vikings back in his day to be selected. And Tyler pointed out the deep picks that are in Major League Baseball's draft. Though this year, everything is being condensed with baseball included. Tyler, I'm right on that, right? Baseball is only going to have, did I read 5 rounds this year? Because of
yes.
5.
And then every player after that is able to be signed with a signing bonus of up to, I believe, $20,000. It's not a lot of money.
No. So, and what do you do? That's just like free agency kind of thing?
You just invite
somebody to your camp if
I
you're
think
interested?
So.
Right. Okay. So it would be similar to the NBA. If you don't get taken in that second round, you're free game. And if somebody calls you and you want to take their offer or you want to wait to see if the phone rings again, you do what you want to do.
Yep.
Got you.
We were a little bit off, by the way. Herb McGee was drafted in the 7th round.
Oh, 7th. Okay. Still 62nd. But that's
yes.
good. Yeah. All right. And he decided to stay at what was then Philly. No, let's see. Back then it would have been Textile. It's now Thomas Jefferson. And he's been there for decade after decade after decade after decade. 610-632-0975. So we've been discussing the athlete that you would like to see play in another sport. But also, what came to light is the fact that we're seeing Tom Brady, who's now a Buccaneer, play in a golf match with another guy who was a long-time, one-team, high-level quarterback, meaning Peyton Manning with the Indianapolis Colts. But he, too, late in his career. Now, his is a little different because of his neck injury. But then he does go to Denver, and he does win a Super Bowl in Denver. Though it wasn't his, he wasn't at the same level that he had been when he was with the Colts. But it makes you think that the time of seeing a guy in just that one jersey, there aren't a lot of them. And I'm curious of who we're seeing now that will only ever be in the uniform that they were drafted. You know, like a Ben Simmons or a Joel Embiid. They're not even at the 7 year where, you know, what do you do at that point? Are you wanting to move on to somewhere else? But, you know, Reggie Miller is one that I pointed out, and I always point out Kobe. But there were plenty, like Karl Malone, that I mentioned that late in his career, you know, you think of him as Utah Jazz, but he went to the Lakers. Michael Jordan, when he came back, ends up with the Washington Wizards. So who would you like to see, and who do you think has a possibility that could really stay in one place given the parameters of modern time sports across the board? It's very rare that it happens. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Well, the weather in Florida, where Medalist is, the golf course is located, is not looking great. West Palm Beach and Hobie Sound. Hobie Sound is actually the home of Medalist Golf Club, but it's quite close to West Palm Beach. And a storm is making its way through that had hit the Bahamas and southern Florida earlier this morning. And National Weather Service is saying a 40% chance of rain down there at 2. Weather.com is saying 100% chance. So then basically what would happen if they can't play it today? Well, then they said they would play it tomorrow. Unfortunately, weather looks bad in that area. A lot of rain pretty much is predicted, unless you find a window, which is possible. But like I said, they were supposed to start at 3. Personally, since 2 o'clock looks like the best time and then it goes down a little bit for the next couple of hours, I'd give it a chance and move it up. But Thursday's really their first clear day. Now, whether they could do it that day and those guys would be around to be able to do it, maybe they could, maybe they couldn't. But right now, if they don't get it in today, they would try and do it again tomorrow. Tyler, I'm looking at, it's so interesting to me, depending on what sports book you look at, what the numbers are. And they do, well, all of them have Tiger and Peyton favored. But just what the number is what differs. So,
yeah, I've seen it at today at +190 for Manning and for Brady and Mickelson.
Yeah, but then I've seen it as low as +155.
I don't know if that's great value.
No,
you know what I mean? Like, because if you think that at their peaks, Tiger's better than Mickelson, and handicap wise, Manning's better than Brady. That's not great value.
No, and the other thing is, if according to the one thing that's consistent on all those weather reports is the wind. So the wind, I don't know about, obviously Tiger and Phil play through that stuff in various tournaments because you just have to, and especially when you go over to play in Britain, Scotland, whatever, London, Ireland.
Yeah, the UK is pretty bad with that.
Right. So, but, you know, now if your partner is not used to playing in those conditions, certainly the back nine becomes interesting when it becomes alternate shot.
Well, Phil Mickelson did kind of give us his formula for success. He says he's going to keep it low and what do you call them, rippers?
Yes, and hellacious seeds.
Seeds, that's what it was.
Hellacious
okay.
seeds. He has a formula, and it seems like he must be on the TB12 diet or something because he talked about some kind of coffee. And then he said, I'm not talking about like with cream and whatnot, and it must be those coffee beans they all talk about that's good for your health. It is interesting because when I saw a picture of him posting, they were social distancing. It was from yesterday. I had to do a double, and now again, it's a little bit away. It's not close up. And I say to myself, is that Phil? And once again, he's super lean. And he can go up and down, but he looked very lean in that picture. And he certainly did in his post where he gave his winning formula for he and Tom Brady. Brady, I've seen Peyton. I haven't seen much of Brady other than his tweet yesterday to Eli Manning on joining social media. But I have not seen him in any of the golf pictures. I saw his cart. His souped-up cart that he has TB12 on it. But other than that, I'm anxious to see what his golf game looks like. 610-632-0975. So if you could see a player play with one organization, modern day, and you think it has a true possibility. And what we don't know is the finances have changed how this happens. So, and even like we're looking at Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. There was a time that I think many people thought they would, when they left the game, they would have left with the original organization they were with, the Colts for Manning and the Patriots for Brady. And that certainly hasn't happened with either one of them. So for me, I'd like to see where at least one of the two, Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid, is a one organization player. I don't know if that's possible. Yeah, I don't know in this day and age. How about you, Tyler? You don't have to pick basketball.
I don't know how many people are going to be left doing this because of how easy it is to get a contract in free agency anymore.
Yeah.
The one player that I would actually stick with basketball with would be Steph Curry. I think he's got a very legitimate shot of being a Golden State Warrior for his career. Just because generally seems to me that the shot is the last one to go.
Right. I see what you're saying. And also, if you've won championships, there's that loyalty factor.
Pedigree, yep.
Possibly. And that occurred with Reggie Miller, you know, that there was loyalty without the championship. But the time was, that timing of the game was a little different. Yes, Steph, the shooting. The one thing with shooting, he could still have it. But Golden State may be moving on at some point. And so somebody else would be willing to have that. And again, you don't know. There are certain guys who leave the game who never want to not start. But Steph in his, you know, late 30s, a 39, 40-year-old Steph shooting could come off somebody's bench.
Sure.
You know, he seems like a guy that if he still wanted to play, would be somebody who adjusted to what was necessary for his team.
I think you're probably right. The other one that I initially thought of and then kind of backed down off of it because of how the game is trending is Mike Trout. And the reason that I backed down off of it is because I think that, you know, Mike Trout is still the best player in baseball. I think he's going to be the best player in baseball for quite some time.
Right.
But when those skills diminish, I think he's still going to be a good enough hitter to, if the Angels want to move on from him, he could be somebody's DH somewhere.
Yep. But him signing that last deal was a big,
huge step in that direction.
Huge step in staying in the one place. Yes, I agree with that. Let's see, what other football? It's like nearly impossible. I mean, if a Brady isn't going to end his career in with the Patriots, it seems like the quarterback position is the one, though. All right, Drew Brees. Oh, no, he started elsewhere. What am I saying? That's how long ago was it that I forget his the start to his career. That's what happens when he's playing at 40-something. Who else? Aaron Rodgers. No, that probably won't be because they went and drafted Love. So they'll move on from him, and he'll probably still want to play.
Well, he wasn't drafted by this team per se, but Eli Manning was that guy.
Yes.
Obviously,
yes.
He wasn't drafted by the Giants, but...
No. That's a good one. Yeah, it just brings it up that it's there was a time where you only thought of certain players with the team they played and nothing else. You know, that's they were the core, you know.
Brian Urlacher, Ray Lewis.
Yeah, Magic Johnson was the Lakers. Yep. Larry Bird was the Celtics. Isaiah Thomas was the Pistons. You know, you just knew who they were. Dominique was the Hawks. Yeah, and that's how people identified not only with the individual, but with those franchises. And now you know, people, that's why it'll be interesting. I know yesterday when we were talking to Jim Herman, and he's a friend of ours, and he knows my kids are Patriots fans because of their father. And so it will be interesting for me, not just to watch people in my family, but people who were fans of the Patriots, like now do they become fans of Tom Brady elsewhere? Because that's another thing. If your person left, you never, I most team people know you're done with that player because you're a fan of your team. But because things change, do you now follow a player and become a fan of his work and whatever team that work is being done for? So I know I will be interested in seeing what Brady is able to do in a different setting with a different coach. And I bet you there are prop bets that pit things of Belichick's accomplishments against what Brady does this year. I don't know how that would be phrased, but like, will Belichick's Patriots win more games than, you know, the Buccaneers? Something like that. But somehow there'll be something that's related to their accomplishments individually now, or who gets to a certain place in the playoffs first. You know, Brady's more on a clock. But all of Belichick's accomplishments with the Patriots came with Brady. So I guess the clock is also ticking for him. If you flounder too long in his absence, then it will say that you couldn't have done it without Brady. That'll be an interesting dynamic to watch, just from a sporting competitive stance. 610-632-0975. So on the table, we have athletes that you'd like to see participate in a different sport. And we also, who would you like to see remain with one organization? And is it possible? Is it feasible? Another one, Dwayne Wade, to me, should have been a Miami Heat for all of his days. And that didn't happen. But I think of him as that. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So I just saw on Twitter that on this day in 2016, and it is May 24th, the Oklahoma City Thunder took a 3-1 series lead on the Golden State Warriors. Shaking my head. I did not go further to look into the box scores of the next three games, but changed everything, because now that becomes a win for the Warriors. And the following year, Kevin Durant goes to the Warriors after losing that series in seven games. And I'm just by looking, it's so interesting. I don't know if I would have remembered they were up 3-1. Tyler, would you? It was only 4 years ago.
I remember them blowing a lead, but 3-1, like you remember it happening, but 3-1 is just, you had a grip on that series.
Grip. All right, so game five. They, you know, have to go back to Golden State. I might understand this part. It wasn't because Durant didn't deliver. Are you ready for this? In game five, Durant had 40, 12 of 31 shooting. Ooh. But he got to the line, he was 13 of 13 at the line. And Russell Westbrook had 31. You didn't have much off the bench. Well, you know what I didn't remember? Randy Foy was on that team. Villanova's Randy Foy was on the Thunder that lost to the Warriors. So what did, well, I'll tell you exactly what happened. Steph had 31. Klay had 27. Draymond probably was the one guarding Durant that caused him to shoot 12 for 31. And former 76er Maurice Spates came off the bench. Are you ready for this? I know I try to educate you on Spates being more than what this
town is. You are Mo Spates' number one fan at this station, for sure.
Exactly. But I don't think people had an appreciation. The guy played 8 minutes and 30 seconds and contributed 14 points off that bench. And when Steve Kerr talked about how good a shooter this guy was, and now, I mean, I think people would respect his basketball opinion far greater than mine, and as they should. He does talk about this guy is a flat-out shooter. And sure enough, in this particular game, which now when it becomes 3-2, you still say to yourself, you're going home, for goodness sakes. But Oklahoma City, that broke up, that's how they lost to me. Losing that series is how they lost Kevin Durant. I believe if Kevin Durant had advanced to the finals, that changes everything. For
you think advancing keeps him, or would they have had to won the title?
That's a great question. I think it would have been a lot harder to walk away having been in. I would have had to see how if he gets swept in the finals, that's free game to walk away still. Maybe if he felt like they lose in the finals, then I'm still never going to have enough around me. And obviously when I just rattled off what they did with their bench, I mean, if I told you who was on that bench, Randy Foy is a name that we know because he's played at Villanova, but there'd be a lot of people that would say, okay, well, Randy Foy's a nice name. I'll tell you who else was in that. Well, let's see.
Was Cephalosha on that team?
Cephalosha. No. And actually, another guy who has Warrior connections also, it was Anthony Morrow. Pretty good shooter. Randy Foy, Dion Waiters. Now, Dion gave them nothing in Game 5. 27 minutes, he was 0-for-4 from the floor. He did have 4 assists. But you and I both know that the rotation becomes smaller. That part I get. But their bench, so they had Durant, Westbrook, Ibaka. I loved Ibaka when he was there, and I love him with the Raptors. Roberson, and then Steven Adams. And then their bench was Dion Waiters, Randy Foy, Anthony Morrow, Enes Kanter, Nazi Muhammad. And then guys who didn't play, Nick Collison, Cameron Payne, and Kyler Singler. Man, 3-1 they went up on this day. I bet you, I mean, I'm not saying you think you have it in the bag, but that's unbelievable. So then they go home for game 6, which is where you got to get it. And let me see what that score was for game 6. Game 6 was 7-point win for the Warriors. And now you have to go and try to win it on Golden State's home floor for game 7. In that game 6, Klay gave you 41 and was 11 of 18 from 3. Steph gave you 31. Anybody who tells you can do it without 2 stars is crazy. And Durant wasn't bad, and Russell did their jobs, 29 and 28 respectively. But again, you got 11 points from your bench. Man, 11 points off your bench in a 108-101 loss. And then you had 3 tries to get 1, and you lost 3 straight. And that was the end of that. I wonder, how many years had Billy Donovan been coaching at that point? I wonder if that was early on in his career with those guys. Because I do think experience in guarding and, you know, who you're going to stop, that kind of thing. Now, again, I don't know. I'm trying to remember at what point he had taken over for Scotty Brooks. I will tell you. Let's see. Brooks. Billy Donovan. Yep, that was his first year coaching in the NBA. Isn't that funny that I thought about that? Not surprising to me. Only because, you know, we say, well, what players have been there? And when I rattle off those numbers, I say to myself, well, your stars did their part. So now it comes down to scheme. And how are you going to stop, you know, or get the better of somebody else's team? And, you know, I'm not nothing against, but I think it is different. And just like a rookie player, you know, you got to learn and gain experience. But that was Billy Donovan's first year as an NBA head coach. And then they lose in the Western Conference. Now, the fact that he got to the Western Conference Finals is a big accomplishment. Yes. To then build a 3-1 series lead, pretty impressive. To then lose the three straight, you know, kind of a bummer. So we've been talking about a lot of different things. Some about athletes that could translate their skills into another sport. Athletes that we'd like to see wear only one jersey for their entire career and how that is becoming less and less. And by the way, the person I always think of that, in my mind, it changed and you thought about free agency in a different way was Reggie White, because he did the tour that one year of free agency to visit, and then he ended up going to the Green Bay Packers. But that was the thing of where how you understood free agency was really people were going to take advantage of being able to have that choice to move to a different place, maybe to a better team or to a better financial situation, any or all of the above. And way back in the beginning of this show, we also talked about an article in Philly Voice that discussed weird 10 weird things, and today's what was highlighted was the big five. And so I was going to go back to that particular article because I had mentioned how I had no idea that Lionel Simmons, who played for LaSalle, is still the fourth all-time leading scorer in NCAA history. And actually, I'm going to have Tyler, I can't even remember the top name you told me. I know Doug McDermott came to my mind, and he was on the list at like six.
It was Pete Maravich.
Pete Maravich, that's right. Thank you. And we did know that Oscar Robertson was somewhere in that high up on that list as well. But you found a lot of names that were small school names. Steph was somewhere in the top 20, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, I'll go back and check. Yeah, I think he might have been like 18,
and again,
19.
Smaller school, Davidson.
Sure.
Right? McDermott, you know, again, we're talking mid-majors. So we'll go back and we'll look because we'll rattle up. We'll look in the top 20 at the names that we know and ones that we think would be there. And why are so many of the names from the smaller schools? Is it because the big schools attract a lot? Like, for instance, Kentucky probably doesn't have anybody on there because they always have five people who are high-level athletes slash basketball players, and so you are spreading it around. 610-632-0975. Jay, sit tight. I want to give you your full time. We'll get back to the conversation on the other side. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.